Hi, so my name is Jordan Gabosh. I work with First Nations Waste Minimization at Green Action Center. And we work with First Nation communities around Manitoba. We work with 12 so far, and we help them to develop their waste systems to go from dumping and burning to recycling and waste diversion. And we support that by helping the communities with proposals, by buying them equipment, by buying them PPE, by doing community engagement, such as helping out at Treaty Days, helping out with any recycling collection events, things like that. And we also do school engagement. So we do school presentations. We have two, one's for high school and one's for grades 6 to 8. And that's at no charge. It's just whichever First Nations school kind of wants to do something environmental themed, we offer that. We also have some resources available for First Nations people to kind of look over on our website. We have a waste toolkit, which is available online for free. I'm a community pathfinder. I work with a few communities, like they're on my case, like my file. And so I'm the main contact that works with them. And we travel out to communities. We do site visits. We'll bring PPE with us. Sometimes we'll take recycling back to the city. So we help out with that. It's just a lot of engaging with the landfill staff and meeting with chief and council sometimes, and just really getting in the community and getting, like, being the boots on the ground. So that's what I do.
Do you think that food distribution channels and the current cost of food affect food waste in northern communities of Manitoba?
Yep, I definitely do. The food distribution system is very complicated in many cases. So most northern communities, especially remote flying communities, have a greater cost of living due to the high transport costs of getting goods into the community. So some communities can only get supplies brought in by ice road. And that is a very limited time span. So it's a 6 to 8 week period in which all the goods for the entire year are brought into these communities. So yeah, that's... even with semi-remote communities, so communities that are up north and still attached to provincial highways, for instance, like Norrie House, those communities still face greater higher transportation costs because of the distance to Winnipeg. It's still a 10, 12-hour drive many times. So it's just, even if they're connected via highway, it's still a higher cost.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of to help with the waste infrastructure of that sort of ice road distribution system, something has been developed called the Backhaul Program. And this program is a collaboration between producer responsibility organizations, PROs, such as Tire Stewardship, Marcy Used Oil, EPRA. So they've all banded together to get waste out of these communities. And so it's a collaboration between them, Indigenous Services Canada, ISC, our team, First Nations Waste Minimization, and remote communities that need these goods taken out. So this year we worked with 6 different ones. And so the backhaul program, the idea of it is basically when goods are brought into the community during the 6 to 8 week period, we're trying to get every truck that's emptied of the goods to be taking waste out of the community down to Winnipeg. And we get the waste, the landfill staff to kind of package and prepare these items on pallets and wrap them and label them. And then it's brought down to be processed at different material facilities. So, yep, thanks. That's one solution that has been developed for these communities. But at the same time, it's not a permanent solution, because climate change is actually reducing the period of ice road viability. So it's taking longer to freeze and earlier to thaw each year. And there's actually a tool called the Climate Atlas, which you can find online. And you can go back in time and you can kind of see how the temperatures are changing in the last, 20 years or 10 years. And you can actually see these temperatures in that tool, increasing. So it's kind of concerning. So eventually there's going to be, with climate change, there might not be a backhaul program or ice road one day. So that's an issue.
Is there anything that that comes to your mind when we think about maybe how we could address the root cause of the issue and actually transform the current food system so that it's more environmentally sustainable.
Yep. So one of the big issues currently, you know, aside from the remoteness, is that the main contributor of waste in these communities is the Northern Store. They essentially have a monopoly on all of the food distribution in these communities. So they're the main contributor of household waste, and typically they don't generally responsibly manage the waste. So they're kind of just producing, and it's going in, and it's up to the whichever level of the landfill staff are at, right? So if they're not recycling and diverting, that is just going to the dump. But in some cases, they're able to, you know, collect these and store them throughout the year till the backhaul can happen. But yeah, in only one community I know of, Oxford House or Bunabonabee Cree Nation, the Northern Store there actually collects and transports the cardboard boxes it produces. But again, that's one community out of how many, right? So we've been talking to waste management about what can be done. Maybe there's talk about bylaws being put in place and stuff so that whichever person's kind of bringing waste to the community is dealing with it has to, you know, help deal with it in some way. So that's just in the beginning stages, and it's still an ongoing issue. So
yeah.
And another thing for people in terms of like their health up there is that the Northern Store, the food prices are higher, so they're only able to, you know, buy the more processed cheap goods. And that ties into issues with subsistence hunting and fishing. Due to contamination and pollution and what stuff like that, runoff, communities report that they have to go farther and farther away to harvest animals suitable for eating. So, for instance, when I went to St. Teresa, the guy I talked to who took us fishing, he says he tests for mercury in each fish to make sure that it's safe to eat. And they're saying they have to go farther and farther away to get to these fish that are edible still. And that goes for the animals as well, moose, deer, whatever. So soil contamination, water contamination does play a part in how they're able to, you know, eat the food that we've eaten for thousands of years.
Yeah. But you do think that encouraging people to or giving more opportunities to people to produce or harvest the food more locally is a greener option, or would be a nice way to start transforming the food system and make it more sustainable?
Yeah. So many communities have a fish processing plant, which harvests and, you know, processes local fish brought in from fishermen. That fish is generally tested and is healthy and is distributed to, you know, elders, families around the community. So often free. So they are getting a source of their wild meat, which is very healthy. And, you know, when they do community hunts, like if they kill a moose or something, anybody who helps gets a piece, and that's all distributed. So that is that those traditional food systems are still intact, but they are in danger due to our, you know, our wasteful, polluting kind of society.
I would love to just give you the opportunity to share if there's anything that you would like folks from the city or just general followers of Food Matters Manitoba's social media to know about your work and about food security in northern Manitoba.
Yeah, I just would like people to, you know, really think about how the folks up north, kind of some of the situations that they've been in due to colonialism and stuff like that. You know, it's not really their fault that the food prices are so high, but they have to still, they're you know, living wage is an issue up there. So they're paying greater prices but making the same, and that's something that is not right. But there is hope. So some of these communities are, you know, they're getting into recycling and waste diversion. They're engaging with us. They're engaging with PROs. They're engaging with ISC, and they're actively, you know, developing and improving their services. And they're doing things such as composting initiatives, Some have been reaching out. There's a case in St. Teresa where they've been building community gardens around the community. So we know three different ones that are hoping to produce food and distribute it locally, so it'll be at a fair price and healthier to the people. And they've been helping, they've been asking for help with composting. So that's what we're planning to do with them, to get composting training and initiatives up there so that they can start diverting organics and stuff like that. So that's kind of, if you think of where the province is at, we're not, Manitoba itself is not at that level yet. So for instance, there's no organics diversion in Winnipeg, and there is in other places, and that all that is a vote on the council or whatever, right? So it kind of reflects where Manitoba as a province is at. So they're just, you know, hoping to do more. And we've seen a lot of great things. And since I've started last year, I've, you know, been, I really care about it now, because you see the, you see lots of success as much as challenges. So it's, yeah, it's a very interesting field, and it should be a greater topic to Canadians, because they are Canadians too. We're all Canadians, right? We're all treaty people. And, you know, just because they live out there in the reserve, they should be cared about as if it was down south. They should be given the same importance. So, yeah, I just like to, you know, get people thinking about that and thinking about climate change and how it's affecting the north and the food systems happening. And yeah, that's really it. If people are interested in learning more about the program and what we do, they can sign up for our social media. So we have a Facebook at First Nations Waste Minimization, and we have an Instagram as well. We do our best to keep those updated, but we don't have a communications person, so it's kind of up to us, but we do our best. They can check out our website. They can sign up for our newsletter on the website. And I'm actually in charge of making those newsletters. So the next one will be released in July, and that'll, you know, count the last few months where we're at right now and what we've been doing. Lots of interesting stuff happening, and yeah, stay tuned, keep in touch.
Yes, perfect.
They can email us at fnwm@greenactioncenter.ca. That's our general email.